This is Wells Tech, a weekly show exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. Your hosts are Sally Draper and Martin Spriggs. Wells Tech is produced by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Hello again, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs with Wells Tech. Episode 541 we're doing today, which is March 20th, 2018. Joining me as usual, exploring those intersections of technology and ministry, friend and podcasting partner, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally, how are things out there in Minnesota? You get rid of any of that snow yet?
Lovely New Ulm. Did get rid of snow, Martin, but we heard that you were going to come for a visit and we wanted to blanket it with fresh white loveliness. And so we are having snow today, as a matter of fact, just
You're kidding me.
For your visit. Wow. No, sir, I am not.
Well, if I'm going to have snow, I'd rather have it white and fluffy and clean.
So. You ordered this. That's what I thought. We were blaming you.
Yeah, I am headed your way tomorrow afternoon for a quick, I do an annual visit with the folks there at MLC, Martin Luther College, which is one of our worker training institutions, and enjoy the little 5.5 hour, trot up there and back. Prefer I'd cheek to have decent weather, but I go anyway.
So hey.
I've had all kinds of weather on the way over there, but I thought going in later in March would be a little bit better, but foiled again.
It might be completely different tomorrow. You never know. It is Minnesota, so we will see.
I asked Alexa this morning what I was looking at for Mankato tomorrow. That's where I'm staying. And she did not indicate any of the white stuff. So she said 40-something and partly cloudy. So I'm hoping for the best.
New woman in your life? Alexa?
Alexa's my buddy, yeah.
Yeah.
She talks to me when I talk to her.
He tells you these secret things, huh?
Right. Exactly. Okay. I'll ask her again tomorrow and see if her story changes.
I'll hope for the best.
All right. Sally, we're going to run a little podcast here again, as we are wont to do for the 541st time. We are in the month of March, and month of March is our Back to the Basics month. We've covered document management, had a good time with Drew Willems last week. And the week before that was email. I can probably almost predict what our basics discussion is this week. It is calendaring, but not just calendaring and task management. Not because they are the same, but because they are cousins.
Yeah, and they definitely hold a place of honor, I think, in both of our productivity protocols that we follow. So I couldn't do the basics without covering calendaring and task management. And I'll just lead right off the bat and say I'm a total Google Calendar fangirl, and I have used it for, many years now. It seems like time flies, but it is definitely an easy tool to use personally, as well as in a church and school setting. Allows for lots of collaboration, sharing, viewing on mobile devices, all kinds of things like that. It has many great things going for it.
Google Calendar's been around a long, long time, and they've made some recent improvements to functionality and to the design. It kind of been stuck for, I think, a number of years, just kind of with the same approach, but I think they've upped their game a little bit and made it far more useful. What is it that you like about Google Calendar? What are your maybe top three wins that you get by using Google Calendar?
Well, I think probably the biggest impact that I can remember is when I got my iPod Touch and I had my calendar in my pocket with me at all times, and I could make updates wherever I was, and just that mobility of it, probably, and ease of use. Obviously, they've got a great design to make it a tool that I want to use. But just having those calendars available is probably number one. Number two would be the sharing capabilities. So when I look at my Google Calendar down the left sidebar, all the different calendars I have access to, and that includes things like my church and school. It includes my husband's calendars and my kids' calendars, at least back in the day when they were dependents, not married men. But it includes my favorite sports teams calendars or the high school or college calendars where my kids go to school. So just a wide variety of things that can be shared with me and that I can share with others. So I think those are the top reasons I love Google.
Yeah, the fact that you can have multiple calendars, gone are the days where you just have this one master calendar that everything needs to go on it. And then it's kind of a walled garden, so to speak. It just kind of lives in one place. Here you can bring things in and out. I, like you, have different calendars that our church provides. So I assist with the AV work at our church. So we have a calendar for that. I'm a communion. I work occasionally on Sundays as a communion assistant, so help with communion distribution. So that's got its own calendar. There are other meeting schedules and family schedules, those kinds of things, and you can kind of turn them on and off as necessary. You can give them different colors and treat them a little bit differently. And like you mentioned, they can be mobile friendly too. They're with you wherever you go. So I really like that about Google Calendars as well. And we talked about mostly personal uses, but there are many use cases for ministry and how a church would use them. One of the real nice things that we've been able to do with the calendar is embedded on our website. So for instance, in our new website, we have just a calendar on our Peace website, just a calendar devoted to volunteers. So if you are any kind of volunteer, I mentioned a couple volunteer opportunities, but we have a bunch of them. If you go to, and we'll put a link to this in the show notes, we have all of the volunteers listed. So you can, in the upper right, there's usually a little arrow that allows you to filter where it says right next to agenda. Yeah, those of you watching at home can see this, but then you can kind of filter on and off those things that are of interest to you. So if you're in handbells or choir or, you know, whatever it is, you can just see those things and kind of filter out all the rest, and it becomes your own little personal volunteer calendar as well, in addition to being able to subscribe to each of the individual ones. You kind of get a nice view of the big picture or the little picture. I've seen churches and schools do this. So schools will have an events calendar, sports calendar, drama calendar, whatever it is. And then you can separate that out from the church as well. If you are smart and you're thinking about how to kind of divvy up your calendar in a way that you want to ultimately filter it.
Yeah, pretty powerful stuff. And I'm thinking you're using WordPress possibly for your site.
We are, right.
So it's easy to embed even on a WordPress site. I know it works on Final websites, and I'm sure on many other sites. And you, your example showed it in agenda view. You could switch to monthly or weekly views, but you can control that as you create the embed code. What kind of options am I going to give them? What's the default display going to be? How large is it going to be on the screen? All kinds of things you can do right there as you create that embed code for your website.
Right. Sally, you've ever used Calendar or the calendaring features to do any scheduling?
Well, I think that that capability is there. I can't say that I've specifically done that, but we've talked to people that have used it like for parent-teacher conference scheduling. So they put blocks of time out there and people can go and basically create their own calendar event on someone else's calendar.
Or front-end third-party extensions that do that too, right?
And now Google has announced that you can do room scheduling or resource scheduling. So if you have a projector that you share among different conference rooms at your church or
just conference rooms themselves,
exactly,
right?
Sharing a conference room or whatever, then you could schedule those things using Google Calendar fairly easily now.
Yep. And of course, Google Calendar is not the only game in town. There are other calendars out there, but a lot of them have similar features. But Google, I think, is the, you know, kind of wins the prize for ease of use. And I think most people have some touches with Google Calendar, so it makes a lot of sense to consider that first.
Yeah. I have a different slant on calendaring, and that ties to social media. So not getting away from the Google Calendar, the master calendar, maybe for your church or school. Have you considered adding events on your Facebook page, for instance? So those are like independent little activities that you can add on Facebook, and you can invite people to them. You can promote them with advertising, or just link to them for the details of your event or whatever it may be. And I don't know about you, Martin, but and maybe you don't do a whole lot of Facebooking, but a lot of my friends are into these event things, and I'll get notifications more and more. So-and-so is going to an event near you. And I may not even be familiar. Maybe it's a concert in the park in Mankato or something. But because three of my friends had indicated they were going, then those events start filtering down to me just because of my social connections to them. So I think that that's pretty powerful, the fact that those events can reach other broader circles of people. And so as you're, you know, adding events to your calendar, the big events, maybe you want to consider doing Facebook event posts for them as well.
Yep. Great idea. Yeah. As much visibility, certainly for events that are open to the public or the wider organization audience, if you want to get a little bit better visibility, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yep. Good. Should we move on to task management?
Sure.
We should probably make a distinction. I think this is kind of important, and I've mentioned this on the show before, that there is a difference between your calendar and your to-do list. They should not be the same thing. Similarly to your email inbox should not be your to-do list. There are definitely things that you can hard code onto your calendar if you are making a commitment that, hey, you're going to do this or be here. So if you have a particular activity, write a sermon, do a lesson plan that you want to do, you know, at 8 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock at night, and you know you're going to do that. But I would recommend don't get into the habit of just kind of filling your calendar with hope for time slots that you hope to get to this, hope to get to that. Leave those on your to-do list or your task management list, and let your calendar kind of be that sacred ground where, you know, this is the hardscape of my day, and these are the commitments that I've made, and then let the rest filter in. You know, maybe you have a generic time of day where you're going to do to-dos, and you kind of prioritize and whatnot. But that's why we've separated these categories a little bit, even though we're talking about them on the same day. Task management or to-do lists are a different animal than calendar events.
Yeah, and I could see that the converse of what you just said would be something that could be desirable. So your task management can have some date times connected to the task.
Certainly you have deadlines, right?
And, you know, reminders that are automated with whatever tool you pick or whatever. And then you're kind of covering your bases. You know, if you need to be in an event or do something at a certain date or time, then yeah, maybe your calendar is the place for it. But if it's a to-do item that has a deadline, then I would suggest you make sure you have a tool that can handle that.
Of course. Right.
On the task management side.
So what's your task management tool of choice?
Well, big surprise for WealthTech listeners. I think we're going to point towards Trello as something being very powerful for task management. That's what we use in the technology office to keep up with all the things that we have to do around our projects and other tasks. And so I use it personally as well. And I like the ease of it. I like the flexibility of it. You can really kind of structure your Trello experience in a lot of different ways using lists and labels and due dates and all kinds of things that come along with it. There are many power-ups that allow you to integrate other tools into Trello, and it's very, very mobile friendly. So you can have your Trello list with you wherever you go on your mobile device. So lots of pluses for Trello, Trello.com.
Yep, I'm with you there. It's also, like you mentioned, so flexible that if you want to do it a certain way, you can do it that way. Also, as you mentioned, team-oriented. You can have a bunch of people, or you can use it just for yourself. So it's got some flexibility that way. And the free version works pretty well for most people. So you're not going to make a huge financial commitment. You can attach files to it. As you mentioned, you can put deadlines on it. And with these what are called power-ups, you can add a lot of functionality to it as well. So lots of different opportunities there. Of course, there are other task management tools, some built right into your phone, some on your computer. You know, I guess the point is stick with something, be strategic about its use and how you're going to manage those tasks, and then just make some smart choices about how you organize things.
And you can use task lists for all kinds of purposes. If you think specifically ministry related purposes, I'm sure there's many projects or events that need planning and might involve multiple people where you make a list of things that need to be done. I think our example in the With All Your Heart project management book was a vacation Bible school. Right. And maybe you have a publicity committee and you have your teachers and your craft people and, you know, all different kinds of avenues that you want to have things to do in relation to vacation Bible school. So a tool like Trello can really be handy for those kind of things. I think once in the not too distant past, we talked about using Trello to capture cyclical events so that you have a board that shows all the things that go on throughout the church year, perhaps just once a year, perhaps quarterly or monthly or weekly, so that you have a picture of the activity of the church and can look forward in the next maybe quarter to what's coming up rather than just reacting to it in the moment. You have this board that kind of shows you the big picture. I think that could be really powerful in a church or school setting.
Oh, for sure. And because it's a shareable, maybe community-driven approach, there's built-in accountability, too, where there's no ambiguity about who's doing what, when, why, where. Those kinds of things are kind of all documented versus, well, we said this at the meeting, and then the next time you meet, we're not quite sure who said what. And so this is a really good practice to get into where you've got these things noted, and it's easy to reuse them as well. So lots of uses there. I spoke last time, or a couple weeks ago, one of my picks was a little tool called Drafts. This is for mobile iOS users, for iPad and iPhone users, just a quick way to get stuff into your system. And that's really important, not so much the tool, but the fact that you do have some kind of mechanism to jot stuff down and get it out of your head and into your system. So whatever tool you use, whether it's a notebook or a smartphone or whatever it is, just make sure that you're not creating a barrier between getting stuff, from your head to your system so that you can come back to it, get it documented, and get it on the board someplace. Really yep. Important concept.
And, even if it's not Trello, there's lots of other directions you can go, like you said. But I think sharing the experience with a group, like working together on a project and using it as your task management tool for a project or an activity, helps people to understand all the capabilities. So don't be afraid to introduce it to your board or committee that's working on the bake sale or whatever it is. And watch as people understand the tool, how they might apply it to other areas of your ministry. It can be kind of contagious in that way.
Exactly. So that's kind of our talk, our back to the basics conversation about calendaring and task management. Those are two real key things that you gotta get nailed down. We're gonna wrap up. Is next week? Do we have five or four shows in March here?
Just four. Will be the wrap up.
We're gonna close it out, and Jason Schmidt's gonna join us. We're gonna talk about presentations, which is another one of those kind of what I would call blocking and tackling kind of topics that you really need to have down, because most of us are involved at some point or another in our careers with some kind of presentation. So got to get that right too. So I'm looking forward
to that.
All right, let's move on, Sally, to the next segment of our show, which is something that we call Wells Now, where we look at the Wells world in which we live and kind of call out different things that might be of interest.
And we have a couple of things to mention on today's show. One of them we've been talking about for a few weeks now, Martin, and that is our Wells Education, Technology, and Leadership Summit, which is happening next summer, June 25th through 27th at Kalahari Resort in Wisconsin Dells. We are looking for presenters, and we encourage all our listeners to put on their thinking caps and give us your great ideas of things in the education, technology, and leadership realm of ministry that you could share with those who attend the conference. We are taking presentation ideas through May 31st, so not something you have to just crank out today, folks, but give it some thought and consideration of what sessions you might be willing to lead and share your ideas. We are offering one night's lodging and a stipend for travel expenses, as well as an honorarium to those who are selected to speak, and so it'll help with your attendance at the event and the expenses associated if you do consider presenting for us. So please do give us your good ideas.
And I would add to that, that if you don't feel qualified or even want to present, but if you know of somebody or you've heard somebody speak on a particular topic, maybe it was a teacher's conference or a circuit meeting or whatever it is, let us know that too, and then we can maybe send out a personal invite to that person or groups of people that that you have suggested to us. So that would be awesome if you'd be willing to share that too.
One more mention for our audience, and this one comes from our friends at Martin Luther College. They have published their Holy Week devotional booklet. They are famous for these really awesome devotion booklets.
Really
they do them
nice.
During Holy Week each year, as well as during Advent. And this year's Holy Week theme is places of
climb the ladder, you'll get there.
Eventually. And you can actually read the devotions online. You can download the whole book as a PDF document to read offline. You can request that they mail you a copy. You got to be quick about that because Holy Week starts pretty soon, folks. But they also will email you daily devotions throughout Holy Week. So if you're interested, just head on over to the website. We'll have a link in the show notes. It's mlc-wells.edu/go/holy-week. So you can get the MLC Holy Week devotions.
Neat. Yeah, these are high quality. This is not just off the Mimeo graph. These are nice professionally printed things that you actually may want to keep around for a while. So nicely done, guys.
So I'm not going to ask how old you are to say mimeograph in a technology podcast, but
is this a concept unfamiliar to you?
Mimeograph. Maybe once in my life I might have sniffed those fresh papers because that was a cool smell, but yeah.
Right.
I'm not admitting it if I did.
Okay. All right. I think it's that time of the show where we take our picks or tips of the week and share them with everybody. Sally, you've got a pick this week or tip.
I certainly do. And my pick ties to our discussion this week of calendaring tools and specifically Google Calendar. I have a blog post that lists 29 extensions and tools to supercharge your Google Calendar. One thing we didn't mention, Martin, is there are a lot of add-ons and browser extensions, all kinds of things that you can use to enhance your Google Calendar. One that I've used from the list is something called Event Merge. And it's actually available in the Chrome Web Store. And it takes all those calendars that are events that are on multiple calendars and stacked up on your calendar, and it merges them together so you see all the colors, but just in one event. So it gives you a nice striped look, so you look cool on your calendar display as well. But that, you know.
Or at least a child of the 70s.
All about the fashion. But yeah, that's just one of the 29 extensions that are part of the blog post that you can read if you check out our show notes and look for my pick.
That's interesting. Yeah, everybody, I think, sees that sometimes on their calendars where you've got the same event on multiple calendars, just kind of, and they get really tiny because they're trying to fit in that same time slot. This kind of merges them all together. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. My pick of the week is actually also calendar related, and I just wrote up a quick blog post to talk about it, and it is the fact that you can attach files to calendar events. And one of the challenges, I think, with meeting management or attending meetings, and I attend a lot of them, is trying to prep for them and be ready while I'm in them with the materials that are relevant to that meeting. And before I kind of figured out that, hey, calendars can, you can attach items to calendars, you know, I had stuff all over the place. I had stuff in OneNote, and I had stuff in email. I had stuff on cloud storage, you know, and I had to kind of remember where all that stuff was. With these tools that are available, and specifically here in Google Calendar, but Outlook does the same thing, is you can attach files, links, notes, those kinds of things, all to the event. So when the time comes to either prep for the meeting or be in the meeting, you've got them all in one place. Benefit of this is if you've got multiple attendees that are that you shared this calendar event with, they also have the same materials. So if materials change or you update a Google Doc or something like that, they always have the latest and greatest copy, and you can avoid kind of that those last second emails that go out with, hey, here's the latest version of this document that we're considering, blah, blah, blah. So this cloud-based calendaring and attachments is really a cool thing. I worked up a 3-minute demonstration of Google Calendar attachments. It's not rocket science. That's why it only took me 3 minutes to demo it. But it is actually very cool to be able to just drag and drop your files right on the event, and you've got them there for future reference. And it's available on your mobile phone or your computer or wherever you've got the app available to you on the web, et cetera, et cetera. So the blog post is called Good Digital Calendar Stewardship. And there's all kinds of things you could talk about for calendars, and we mentioned some of them on the show today. But I think one of the big hitters is this ability to attach documents of any type. Anything that you can put on Google Drive, you can attach to a calendar. So pretty cool.
So I have a question for you. Yep. If you had a superpower, what would it be? What would your superhero name be?
How does this relate to calendar?
I think you would be Productivity Man. I'm going to just knight you as Productivity Man. My superpower.
What kind of outfit does Productivity Man wear?
I don't know, but no.
I don't even want to know.
Okay, right?
It's got some kind of pocket protector involved, I'm thinking.
Tape on your glasses, whatever.
That's right.
But no cape. My superpower is just in time, girl. That is totally so me. And your tip fits right with both our superpowers, because I love that my calendar has just what I need just at the moment the meeting is kicking off, and I've forgotten where I put the silly document that I need for the meeting, and there it is, my calendar to the rescue. So just in time, girl approves of your tip of the week.
It's hard though. I mean, I've been in meetings where, you know, I knew I had something and mm-hmm. Spent, you know, 2 or 3 minutes just trying to hunt this thing down. And if I'd thought a little bit ahead, I would have kind of attached them all there and had kind of a nice index of everything.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom.
But learn from Productivity Man, folks. Yep.
Speaking of productivity, I think your ministry resource is a power hitter here.
It is. I'm excited to share, and I will even share my screen for those watching, a website called printmycal.com. Not the first time we've talked about it on Wells Tech, but something that I'm pretty closely familiar with because it was actually programmed by my husband. PrintMyCal turns your Google Calendar into a printable calendar. I actually have, there's a link on the website, and there's a sample document that I'm sharing that shows what it could look like. And I think many of us in ministry settings understand the need for a printable calendar because we're still producing paper newsletters that go out either from school or church with the events for the month. We use one at our church. We get it in the mail every month. We use one at Treasure House, the local resale shop that supports Minnesota Valley Lutheran High School. And PrintMyCal is the tool to do that for you. If you've ever tried printing your Google Calendar, their print capabilities
are not pretty.
Lacking. Yeah, they truncate, cut off all your titles and things for your events. And you really probably just want to get it into Word where you can do a little bit of editing yourself anyway. And PrintMyCal allows you to do that. It'll actually download in an RTF format, which is a more basic word processing format that's recognized by a lot of different word processors. And then you can control, maybe you want your Sunday to be twice as wide as your other days of the week, or you want things to be in different colors like your Google Calendar is. And it gives you that capability. It also allows you to just download the basics in a PDF format as well. Works on mobile devices, works with multiple Google calendars. So again, you can bring in the soccer calendar and the football calendar and the, you know, whatever calendars you want to bring into a particular print view. And it's all done online through the web browser. Disclaimer, it does have a little bit of advertising on the site, and that's just to support the expenses of hosting the site and such. So printmycal.com.
Cool. Very nice. Mm-hmm. Excellent tool. All right, Sally, I think we're to the point in our show where we take a little bit of community feedback.
We are, and our community feedback topic this month is one that is of interest to many people, I'm sure, and it does have a technology bent to it, and it's specifically focused on worship and using projection screens in worship, so projecting perhaps the liturgy and the song lyrics and other things during worship, so that can be used in lieu of a hymnal or a bulletin for responsive readings, for singing, and that kind of thing. So recently, an article was published, I believe, in the Worship the Lord newsletter out of the Worship Office, and it was an article about rethinking technology and worship, and specifically looking at the concept of screens and their effect on worship. And I think there's been a lot of good discussion around this article, and I've seen a lot of it there on the Wells website, as well as out on Facebook and in other places. Just probably something that we should talk about on Wells Tech as well.
Yeah, it's a great topic. We could probably devote a whole show to it, but maybe just bring it up here and just get the conversation going. Maybe we'll return to this. But Pastor Caleb Bassett, who is actually the chairman of the technology subcommittee of the hymnal committee, was the author of the article. And he wrote one for the hymnal committee. They have a blog as well a while back, last year, 2 years ago, something like that, which makes sense, talking about technology and worship, because we on the subcommittee talk about that every time we meet, is, you know, what kind of tools are we going to send out with the new hymnal. So this is very appropriate that he would post this, but he did a nice job just to kind of review some of the key points he made, and then we're going to get to some feedback that we received on the post. One, and this is, we've talked about most of these topics before, he makes the point that the medium is not neutral. I think a lot of people feel that, well, the medium, the channel through which the message is broadcast is neutral. It's the message that counts. And a point that he makes, and I think a valid one, is that the medium isn't neutral. We talked about Marshall McLuhan before, and he was famous for saying the medium is the message. There is a written or unwritten, spoken or unspoken message that you're sending by the mediums that you choose. So the medium is the message, so it's not neutral. Another point that Caleb makes is, in spite of trying not to interrupt the natural worship visuals, and I think by that he means, you know, the altar, the font, the pulpit, the cross, you know, whatever. And I think as people are trying to put screens, you know, in front of churches with our church architecture, they want to preserve that rich history and some of those very beautiful visuals that are already there. It's almost impossible to do because screens, by their very nature, need to be in a place where people can see them. So usually it's right, you know, in the same line of sight, or a little up to the left or up to the right. I mean, it's right there in front. So that's a very challenging thing in spite of our attempts to kind of keep that those natural worship visuals intact. Another thing that he points out, another point he makes, and we've made this before too, is the screen always wins. That's a quote by, I think that's a quote by Shane Kipps. We reviewed his book, The Hidden Power of Electronic Culture, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago now. And I think that's a quote here too, where, you know, if there is a screen that's visible, it will tend to kind of rule the show. You know, so if there's something on the screen, or something is changing on the screen, that's where people's eyes are going to be drawn and their attention is going to be drawn versus, you know, the sermon or whatever else is going on that isn't on the screen. Two other points he was making. He said, we need to consider being different from the world, not the same as it, kind of an oasis of sorts. And I pulled out a quote. He said, our churches are places where the primary task is not to demand more attention, but to offer Sabbath rest for the whole person, body and soul. What we offer is not something that attracts eyeballs with an overwhelming brightness, but creates a new heart of worship by its captivating beauty. And there's certainly something to be said for that too, that we don't have to be like the world. In fact, we are called on to be different in some respects. And then the final point that I noted, at least that he makes, is the character of the kingdom to come. This is a quote as well, or a paraphrase probably. The character of the kingdom to come will be decidedly more human than machine. And I would certainly agree with that. So, Sally, any thoughts on the blog post before we jump into some reaction?
Yeah, I guess right up front, he talks about the fact that maybe we lull ourselves into thinking that people that don't want to look at the screen have the bulletin, have the hymnal to follow, and that's just simply not true that they would do that. And I guess in my personal experience, we've had a screen in our worship setting for the last 5 years. And I see people every week who consistently use the hymnal and ignore the screen. There are plenty of people in our congregation, at least, that you know, make that their definite preference and don't make use of the screen. So I guess I would just caution people to not be totally, decisive in one way or the other. I think there can be a mix, and here, I think, yeah, you know, people mm-hmm. are going to exercise their preference. Now, are they older people, or, you know, is it that the younger people look at the screen more? I can't say that that's the case. I think in our congregation, at least, it's a mix, and people just exercise what they enjoy or appreciate for the worship. My eyes appreciate those big words up there, and I really do struggle sometimes to stay on the right verse and things. I know that's, you know, an old person speaking there, that I like the screen and being able to look up and sing and see the words clearly. So
yep. And that's similar to some of the points made by one community feedbacker. And this person, let me just read a couple of the bullet points shared by them. Mom's hands are full enough, and she's certainly coming from the side of, I think, in favor of screens. I think in general we would say that based on, you know, some of these bullet points. But mom's hands are full enough with multiple children in the pew. Then she makes kind of a compelling argument here. Most pastors never experience this. And I guess I would say that's true. I mean, that's an indictment certainly on anybody who's writing something like this. They have to kind of take that, in the spirit that it's given. But yeah, that's true. I know when I was a pastor, I didn't fully appreciate what Debbie was doing with our three kids as they were, you know, she was going it alone, you know, in
juggling
in with the kids. Yeah. And she's mentioned that too. You don't need to wear reading glasses, as you mentioned. Large print hymnals, Bibles in every pew is costly. Disabled and elderly have trouble standing and handling pages through a hymnal or bulletin. True. New visitors not familiar with our worship can follow along without fumbling through bulletins, hymnals, Bibles, inserts, etc. We're all facing the front of the church, looking up as opposed to looking down. I've heard that before. Mistakes in bulletins are printed, whereas on the screen they can be corrected. Just saw that in our church last Sunday. We don't do the whole service. We do a pre-service, and then we have usually some like communion hymns that will be up there, and then maybe some post-service stuff. But there was a mistake, and we were able to correct it ahead of time, and it wasn't correctable in the bulletin, of course.
However, the converse can be true, and there can be mistakes on the screen that are
oh, for sure.
very large and everyone sees and stumbles right. over them and things, you know, so you have to produce something high quality to put it up there.
Yeah. Printing press gave us new technology that Martin Luther embraced. That is what I want to do. Read, not see pretty animations on the screen, just like you do on paper. Whenever a pastor says, look at page number in the Bible, some of the Bibles are different in the pews. We're not on the same page, confusing to newbies. Talks about the economy of screens, cheaper for mission churches not to buy hymnals. I think there's value in having printed hymnals for other reasons other than just worship too. But change is hard for some people. A couple more. For argument, that the screen takes away from the focus, the same is true of other things in the church, beautiful stained glass windows with sun shining through and other things that certainly could be distracting. Quiet directions are not lost somewhere in the bulletin. Instead, they are timely and make things run decently and in order. Please stand, silent meditation, choir verses, congregation song, liturgy page and prayer inserts during liturgy. Eyes are drawn to announcements after the service rather than during the service in the bulletin. All valid points, and I think none of these would surprise anybody that I think these are certainly, you know, kind of the four side versus some others that maybe were published. And we actually saw the converse of some of these too in some of our Facebook conversations too. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I talked a little bit with my husband about it, and he said, you know, one thing to keep in mind is that the American culture in general thinks newer is better. Mm-hmm. And newer isn't always better. He reminded me that we're going back to vinyl records after that exciting time when we were going to get the perfect quality music from CDs. You know, here we are going back to the richness of vinyl or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, so newer isn't always better. But I do think screens are just becoming more and more ubiquitous. It's everywhere we are. We see announcement screens in the lobby of the doctor's office, in the airport, wherever we go. There's just screens, and maybe that'll make them less distracting to us when we get so saturated.
I think there's some wisdom in that. That was kind of what occurred to me, and I don't know if that time is today, but I think screens are their novelty. You know, I think there is a limit to their novelty, and at times it will not be a distraction, but just kind of a commonplace thing. And if used well, and I think if used, smartly, like any other tool, I think there's going to be, you know, potential place for it and value for it. I personally, like I mentioned in our congregation, home congregation, at least, and I go to a lot of different churches for different reasons, but for presentations and such, and I've seen, you know, the whole gamut, but from Sunday to Sunday at our church, we, like I mentioned, we don't use them for liturgy, but we do use it for communion hymns. And I really like that part of it, where I can actually walk up to communion and continue the hymn sing. And one of the challenges, depending on your church size, is you can get back to your pew and you want to pick up wherever you are in the communion hymn. And because half the congregation is maybe standing in line or taking communion, you can't quite hear what verse you're on. So it's really helpful to have that displayed up in front as well. And my wife is one of those folks that will pick up the hymnal to sing the hymn, but she sings in parts. So, and I don't. So there's value to that as well. And it's very hard to, I think, display that in a legible fashion, you know, on the screen. Mm-hmm. So I think there's two sides to every argument. Like you said, I don't think that's an argument of absolutes. I think you have to just figure out what makes sense. And as a church organization or as a leadership team or whatever, you just want to approach it smartly and don't do it just because everybody else is doing it, but, you know, do it for ministry purposes.
You know, one more comment that Kevin made to me that I hadn't considered is that you can see so much more when you're looking at a hymnal or a bulletin. You have a broader view of where you are in the service. And so you lose that by just having that central focus, like you said, just the one verse of the hymn that they're on or whatever. You lose that, confession mm-hmm. is followed by absolution and things like that, the flow of worship. by just seeing hand, a part you of have it.
The focus.
Right. Yeah. So right. Anyway, more pluses and minuses. We could go on forever, couldn't yeah. we?
And you mentioned, I don't think you mentioned here on the show, but if things go badly, things can really go badly with technology. Yeah. So you want to, and we had a whole show on presentation technology last month, 2 months ago. And that was a big point that was made, is that if you're going to do this, make sure that it's bulletproof, that you have a way, you have a backup plan. This is not going to be an obstacle or distraction. So.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Good discussion. Thank you, Caleb, for your thoughtful article. I think its intent was obviously just to start the discussion, not to be the definitive word. And thanks to our anonymous contributor mm-hmm. here as well. I think raised some excellent points as well. So.
And I should just jump right in here with the fact that our video of the week, which will be embedded on the show notes website, wellstech.wells.net, is actually Pastor Bassett's presentation from the 2017 Worship, Music, and the Arts Conference that was held last summer in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And he did a presentation called Screens and Worship, Do's and Don'ts, but Mostly Don'ts. And it's maybe an hour-long presentation or so, hour and a half even, but it does cover what he covered at Worship Conference. So if you're interested in more of his perspective and the research that he shares and things like that, then tune into that video, which will be on the Wells Tech site.
Yep. And if you're just learning more too, I would still highly recommend the book from Shane Hipps, The Hidden Power of Electronic Culture. It not only covers screens, but just the whole evolution of the written word and the movement away from text and visuals and emojis. I don't know if he goes into deep into emojis, but that's a big part of our society mm-hmm. today. And that's just kind of a natural progression here too. And talks about how culture that affects how we think and how we communicate. So excellent read. Deep, but I think meaningful for anybody in the communication business like most of us are. So. Mm-hmm. All right. Sally, do you want to remind everybody how they can contribute themselves to this show?
I'd just love to. And probably the easiest way to do that, again, is to head to our show notes website, wellstech.wells.net, where you'll find links to all of the different social media platforms. We've got channels all over the place, from Google+ and Facebook to Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram. Just reach out on any of those. Use hashtag WellsTech if you'd like, and we'll see your comments and include them in our show. We'd love to hear your comments on screens and worship or any other topic where technology is enhancing or affecting your ministry efforts.
Very good. As we mentioned earlier in the show, we're going to conclude our Back to the Basics series here in March with one of our favorite people, Jason Schmidt, is going to join us, bring his own brand of sunshine to the show and talk about presentations. He'll certainly come at it from the educational angle, and as will we, and talk about other tools that maybe would help or up your presentation skills. Couldn't we all use that? So tune in next week for episode, you know, whatever it is, 542 is coming up next week. So blessings on your Lenten journey, Palm Sunday coming up. So we'll be talking to you mid Holy Week next week. So we look forward to doing that. And we're so thankful that you decide to join us despite your busy schedules whenever you can. And we will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.